This is News in Notes. I'm Tony Cox. For an intimate look at Memorial Day, we've invited three veterans to share their personal stories of service and sacrifice. It was important to us, too, to understand how the meaning of service has changed over the years, so we've reached through the generations. From World War II, we have Alan Beau Price. Like so many brave men, he risked his life on D-Day at Normandy Beach. From the Vietnam War, we have George Brumel. On June 6, 1966, a landmine took his sight and the use of his left hand. And from the first Gulf War, we have Shelley Tillman. She was a member of a support group attached to the 82nd Airborne. Everybody, welcome to you and happy Memorial Day.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Let me begin with this general question, and I will ask it of each of you individually. And the question is this: why did you enter the military, and what were you thinking at the time? And let me begin first with you, Beau. Why did you join the military?
Well, I was drafted.
Well, that's a good reason. So you didn't have any choice. But once you did get your papers, how did you feel about going?
Well, I had, there were six of us in the service at one time. So I felt good by going into the service.
Did you?
I figured by going into the service, I could help the cause of Afro-Americans.
Really? You had no reservations?
No, none so ever.
Well, let me ask you, George, why did you go in?
Well, I had a very difficult childhood. I was living with my grandmother, but later I was put into a foster home. And I felt really bad about not living with my grandmother. So I joined the Army because I did not have any aspirations of going to college or anything like that. So I thought maybe the military would be my calling.
When you went in, we were in Vietnam at that time. Is that right?
No, it was a little prior to Vietnam. There were some in Vietnam at that time, but very early. I went in 1962.
All right, so you're going in at that time. The prospect or the thought of going to Vietnam was not something that crossed your mind at that time?
Not at all. I had never heard the word Vietnam before until I later got into the military.
Mm-hmm. Shelley, let's talk about you. When did you go in and why did you go in?
Well, I went into the military because I had 4 years of Army Junior ROTC in high school. Absolutely loved the program. It was only natural for me to go into the military. It's something I always wanted to do. I graduated from high school in 1990, went directly into the military, and basically just in time for the Gulf War.
Oh, man, talk about timing, huh?
Right.
Let me go back to you, Beau. You went in because you were drafted. At that time, in the Second World War, America was a very patriotic place, and people were trying to do whatever they could to help in the war effort, including black people.
Right.
But at the same time, the 1940s, that was a very difficult time to be in the Army. So let's talk for a moment about the era of segregation in terms of how African Americans were used versus white soldiers and what your experience in the Army was at that time.
Well, at that time, most of us were service organizations, such as engineers, quartermasters, medical corps, things like that. We had a few infantry, the 92nd and the 93rd. They broke up the 2nd Cavalry unit and sent them to engineers. And then we had the 99th Pursuit Squadron, as you know, the Tuskegee Airmen. And then we had a few black artillery. And one artillery I'll tell you about is the 969 Field Artillery. They call them the Bastogne Bastards. They was up with the 101st in Bastogne. And they did a tremendous job, but you don't ever hear nothing about them.
Mm. Well, George, let me come to you. And we're talking 20-plus years after World War II. With the onset of the Vietnam War. Now, you've already told us that when you joined the Army, when you joined the military, the war was really just getting going, and it was not something that was a part of it, part of your consideration. But once you got in, How would you describe your relationship with white soldiers and the experiences, how they were similar or different between white and black soldiers during your time in the Vietnam era?
It was quite different than what it was during World War II. As a matter of fact, I had a great experience. I only had a couple of bad situations in the military. Otherwise, I had a great experience in the newly integrated military, and an integrated experience for me because I grew up in segregated rural Eastern Shore of Maryland. But I had some great experiences with whites in the military.
Were there any people who were in the military, George, when you went in, who were still there from World War II, who talked to you about the differences between their experiences in the Second World War and what you are now being able to do in the new military in Vietnam?
Yes, they were. They talked about some of the places that they were not able to go, where we were able to go. They talked about, I remember one gentleman talked about he was from Missouri. And while he was stationed at Fort Leavenworth, Missouri, he was told that African Americans should not be allowed to carry weapons. So he felt not only was he fighting the war during World War II, but he was also fighting segregation in white America.
Now, we've already heard Bo Price talk about how there was a certain level of patriotism that swept across the United States during the Second World War and how black soldiers were trying, fighting, if you will, to get their chance to get to the front line. Vietnam was a very different situation. I don't know if you ever made it to the front line or not, but talk about what it meant to be able to be or to have to be on the front line in Vietnam.
Yes. I was on the front lines all the time. I was with the 25th Infantry Division, and I may add to my book that I just recently published, Shades of Darkness, chronicles all my experience that I had growing up in rural Eastern Shore of Maryland, an African American journey to Korea, Vietnam, blindness, and back. And yes, I did have a go on the front lines most of the time, but it was a fighting unit, and some of my very best friends that I had and people that I depended on solely were of white Americans. So again, I didn't have a really bad time. One time I was supposed to have gone down on the bunker line with the 25th Division in Cu Chi. It was called Ann Margaret, and I didn't go down as soon as I should have to maintain this defensive position, and this white platoon sergeant that I had called me the N-word and caused me to made me go down on the bunker line. But I sort of thought at the time I brought it on myself because I should have been down on the bunker line. Not saying that he should have called me the N-word, but I took it in stride and it ran off my back like water off a duck's back.
Shelley Tillman, let's talk about you now, and let's go up to 1991 at the start of the Gulf War, the first Gulf War. How would you describe your interaction? Because you both, you not only had the issue of race, but you had the issue of gender, didn't you?
That's correct. Not only that, I was in an airborne unit, so my airborne unit had so many male soldiers, not too many female soldiers. So that was hard, especially when female soldiers was promoted. And it was really hard for some of the men to actually take orders from her. But over there in Desert Storm, I really didn't experience a lot. I mean, we all worked very well together, men and women, black and white. I got to see black lieutenants and captains and white lieutenants and captains and majors. So we pretty much worked together. The results was great, and everyone in my unit, we all made it home safely.
If you're just tuning in to us, I'm Tony Cox, sitting in for Farai Chidea. You are listening to NPR's News and Notes. We are hosting a very special cross-generational roundtable today with three wartime veterans: Bo Price, who fought in the Second World War, George Brumell, who fought in Vietnam, and Shelley Tillman, who served in the First Gulf War. So it's one thing, I'm coming to you, Bo, it's one thing to have difficulties on the front line or while you are in the service. I want you to talk briefly, if you will, about what it was like when you came home? Because in the 40s, black soldiers were treated better in Europe than they were at home, weren't they?
That's for sure. You know, when we came home, excuse me, we came home on a ship, and we landed in Newport News, Virginia. And so we got off the ship, and we went to our barracks and signed. So a group of us started over to the PX, and the white MP told us that we could not go into the PX. And so we went back and told some of the other fellas, and we was all being discharged, so we know they wasn't going to do much to us. So we went back, and we did a little damage to the PX. We sort of tore it up a little bit. And then, again, when we got on the train and we stopped in West Virginia at the newsstand, the fella didn't want to serve us there. So we tore that up, too. We know we was getting out, so it didn't make that much difference.
Mm-hmm. You had a point to make. Yeah.
So we had problems all the way. Even on the front line, we had problems.
Well, George Brumel, coming back from Vietnam, it was a very different situation, wasn't it? Not so much along the issue of race, but the fact that the war was so unpopular, veterans were not treated. Well, how were they treated? How were you treated? Let me ask.
Well, my situation was somewhat different because when I came home, I came up home on a litter. I was injured rather badly, as you expressed, with the injuries, loss of use of my left hand, blindness, burns. And I went to San Antonio, Texas, at Brooks Medical Center. But I did hear a lot of my friends coming back from Vietnam, and they were spat on. They were called children killers and things of that nature. But because of my injuries, I was somewhat buffered from those types of experiences.
Shelley, coming back from the Gulf War would have been a completely different situation, I would imagine, from
Absolutely.
What we've already heard from George and from Bo.
Absolutely. When we came back, our friends and families was waiting for us and cheering for us. We rode through the streets like a parade, and they cheered us on. And then we had a huge parade downtown in Washington, D.C., and everyone came out and supported us and supported the troops. It was actually amazing.
You know, one of the things I want to talk to as we begin to wind our conversation down, and it's fascinating to hear your stories. And I suppose that I should start with you, George, because of your personal experience. It seems when you think about the war in Iraq, what we are seeing are wounded soldiers coming home at a higher rate than in prior wars. It seems to be because of the better equipment is keeping soldiers alive. When you look back on your own experiences, compare that to how you think the impact of these injuries is having on our perception of war now.
Well, I talk about this again in my book, Shades of Darkness, which can be purchased at my website at georgebrumel.com. And Vietnam, there were approximately 3 soldiers that were injured to every 1 soldier that were killed. In Iraq, the last statistics that I read was there were 8 soldiers injured as to 1 soldier that was killed. So because of the kinds of protective gear that soldiers are wearing in Iraq and Afghanistan, we have a lot less kill ratio. Of course, that was as a result of all this protective gear that we wished that we had, and also the better medical attention that is being received. My point is that, and I'd like to get this in, that I think the draft should be instituted. I think that some of the people in Congress and in the Senate would have a better feeling for what's going on with the war in Iraq and Afghanistan if some of their children were to go and sacrifice their lives, as some of the children or young people are doing from some small town USA.
Here's my final question. I'm going to direct it first to you, Bo, and then to you, Shelley.
Okay.
And it has to do with this. There's a great deal of discussion, disagreement, debate, contentiousness over when and whether the United States should leave Iraq. As soldiers, do soldiers feel that when you are in war that you need or feel that you want to stay and fight to the death, or do you feel that it is appropriate to quit if the cause is lost. Bo, what do you say to that?
If the cause is worth it, but this was a different war, and in the first place, we have no business being there. That's number one. We shouldn't be there because we went there for a three-letter word, oil, and that caused a lot of problems. That's the way I feel about it.
All right, let me ask you, Shelley, how do you feel about that? How do you think soldiers feel about leaving or staying?
Well, you know, the soldiers have a job to do, and they're going to do their jobs. But as a soldier, you need a purpose, and I'm not sure if there's a purpose now. It's time to bring the troops home. I feel like that we should have never gone in the first place, but it's definitely time to bring them home.
We have less than a minute, George, and the last word is coming to you, particularly as a person who was injured in war, and you were injured during a war that turned out to be very unpopular. And here we have Iraq. What is your view in terms of how soldiers feel about staying or leaving in a war such as the one going on in Iraq?
Well, now, I think we have a lot of patriotic young men and women in Iraq today. I think we should find some goals in Iraq and set those goals and try to find a way of getting out of that situation.
That will bring our discussion to a close. Alan Beau Price fought in the Second World War, including the Allied D-Day invasion of Normandy. He talked with us from Chicago. George Brumell is a veteran of the Vietnam War. He lost his sight and the use of his left hand to a landmine. He spoke to us from New Hope, Pennsylvania. And lastly, from Washington, D.C., Shelley Tillman. She served in support of the 82nd Airborne in the First Gulf War. I thank all of you. Let me say thank you and happy Memorial Day.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.